Live from the Journeys Group Studio, this is Taking Care of Business.
Good afternoon. This is George Pate.
And this is Tommy Pate.
Taking Care of Business. Today is Wednesday, March 20th, 2024.
March 20th?
Yeah.
That's not the 20th. It's the 12th. Well, the 13th.
No, that was last week.
Oh, you're right.
That was last Wednesday. Today is the 20th.
Yes. My bad. Yes. Go ahead. Never mind.
Totally ruined the fourth. You've broken the fourth wall now.
The fourth law of?
Fourth wall.
Of what?
Getting your dates mixed up. It's the 20th. Anyway, Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. Somebody is, I guess daylight savings time really threw you off, didn't it?
I'm elderly, okay? Get over it.
You know, I totally forgot daylight savings time was a thing. And then I woke up an hour later and was almost late to church that Sunday. So
I didn't forget that.
What, that I was almost late to church or daylight savings time?
Well, today's the 13th, right?
Yeah, just sit over there and look pretty, okay? Look pretty for the cameras.
We don't have cameras.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yep, you got it. We have faces made for radio. Anything we need to address before we get rolling into the show?
I don't know.
You don't even know what day it is. let's see. Inflation was up in February again.
No, it wasn't, because the Federal Reserve Board has raised interest rates. That can't happen.
Inflation was up. No, inflation was up. It was up very slightly. I mean, I think when I read the news report, it was up. I think it was like up 0.3% or something like that. It wasn't up dramatically, but the fact that it was up.
It was up more than they anticipated, though.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. It's the fact that it's not dropping as fast as they thought it would.
It's not dropping at all.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
It's not coming down.
Yeah, it's actually still going up, which is what the issue is.
Yeah, and so which brings into question, what are they going to do about interest rates? You know, to me, I don't know. Originally, I would have said, just leave interest rates alone, but clearly that doesn't look like it's doing anything. But the other issue is that if they raise interest rates anymore, you know, that could send us, that could tip the scale too much. So I'm not going to make any theories because I don't want to fear monger or try and scare anybody. But we're in a very difficult spot right now. We've talked about this extensively when it comes to the presidential election and inflation and unemployment and everything. And the fact that inflation is getting worse, continues to get worse, just makes it even more difficult to figure out what's going to happen. So.
Well, and it unfortunately, as you've already mentioned, bounces off unemployment. So if you keep raising interest rates, unemployment is going to get worse,
which could send us into a recession.
Yeah. The other question is, if you don't raise interest rates, will inflation continue to, cause it's, I mean, it's starting to pick up steam again.
Yeah. I mean, that's the question is, you know, at the beginning of the year when inflation was up in December and January, at that point, it could still be just a couple of blips on the radar, right? And at that point, my thought was, I'll just leave rates alone, see what happens. All right, now we're 3 months in a row where inflation is getting worse, which doesn't really make sense because it seemed to have stabilized and now it's just getting worse all of a sudden. So it's a little bit weird what's happening. But anyway, the question now is, do they, because we're in a presidential election year, do they just leave it alone? Because unfortunately, the Federal Reserve Board is a political, it's a political entity now. I hate to say that, hate to admit that, but that's what it is. They're a political entity. They're no longer a neutral body. They should be totally separate from any politics, but they're not. That's just the way the game is played.
Well, they get appointed by the president, so
yeah. Yeah, I mean they're going to be loyal to somebody, and unfortunately, with a presidential election looming on the horizon, that calls into question whether they will actually do what they're supposed to do. Because if they raise rates, that hurts the economy, which hurts, you know, the incumbent party's chances of winning. And so that's the big question is, are they, and I'm just going to say this bluntly, are they actually going to do their the job that they were appointed to do and do what they're supposed to do? Or are they going to do the job that is expected of them, which is to make their party look good? And I don't know, given what happened in 2021 or what didn't happen in 2021, where they let inflation just absolutely steamroll its way until it couldn't be stopped for a while. I'm more inclined to believe that they're not going to do what they're supposed to do to help the economy. But that is wild postulation. Please don't take anything I'm saying as fact. I'm going off of the last few years and just kind of what my gut tells me. I have no data to back that up or anything. That's just kind of what I think is going to happen. So don't put any stock in that.
I'm very sad now.
Why?
You just bummed me out completely.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, that's just
reality.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to be so somber and negative, but that's the reality that we're in right now. I mean, we'll be okay. I mean, things will work out. They always have. We've been in situations like this before. It's just, you know, we just haven't had a situation like this in so long that people forgot how to act and forgot what it feels like. So we'll be okay in the long run. Right now, we're just going through some pains. So anyway, enough on that. My name is George Pate. I'm a certified financial planner with the Journeys Group.
My name is Tommy Pate. I, too, am a certified financial planner with the Journeys Group.
We are an independent registered investment advisor for Herman Aiden. Our phone number is 252-304-1019. Again, that's 252-304-1019. Or you can find us on the web at www.thejourneysgroup.com. Again, www.thejourneysgroup.com. Our website has a variety of financial articles that we rotate on it. It has our contact information as well as our physical location. It has links to our social media, our Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Instagram. It has links to our upcoming events. I don't think it's up there yet, but our next one will be April the 29th. It will be our first invitational, interdimensional, intergalactic world. We're having a golf tournament. and some more details to come on that. And last but not least, it has a link to the podcast, Taking Care of Business. So if you miss a show and want to catch up, that's the place to find it. We're on 19 different podcast platforms. So just pick your favorite one or the one with the prettiest logo. And with that, the depressing topic is over. What are we talking about today?
Well, last week we interviewed you.
Okay.
This week we're interviewing clients.
Okay.
So we're going to go over some of the most common questions that we have.
From clients?
From clients, yep. And the first one is, and we hear this all the time, will Social Security be there when I retire?
I had a conversation with somebody about that last week, actually, yep. Several times.
Social Security is funded, first of all, unless you're...
Me.
George. No, Social Security is funded by two, there's two funding mechanisms. One is the actual interest that the account earns. And the other is, of course, the FICA taxes that come out of your paycheck. It is projected because of Congress that Social Security will, the Social Security account, and I say because of Congress, because they've taken money out of the Social Security Trust Fund that they weren't supposed to do, but they, you know. In about 2035, somewhere in there, then the trust fund is going to come down to zero, which means there is no more money earning interest. Now, at that point, the FICA taxes that people are paying will still cover 75% of the benefit. So between now and then, Congress will either have to lower the Social Security benefits, which I don't think they'll do. Disband the benefits, which I don't think they'll do, or make some changes in it. Changes being increase the age at which you can retire, or I think one of the most logical things to do would be to privatize it. In other words, instead of you sending your money to the federal government, that is mandatory. You set up a Social Security account, and it can be invested any way you want to. And then by doing that, the government has taken the burden off of themselves and put it on you. It would also help with people that are getting benefits and never put a dime into it. I did not say illegal aliens when I said that.
You just did.
But there are people that file for Social Security benefits that have never worked a day in their life. And
get a benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it, will it be around? Yes. If you're in your 50s, I would say it's going to be pretty close to, well, mid-50s, I should say. It'll probably be like it is now. If you're younger than that, it probably will not be in the same form, but it will still be around. It has become too ingrained into the American society for them just to get rid of it.
That it would be like them saying, Medicare is too expensive for us, so we're just not going to do it anymore. It would be, like you said, there's too many people that depend on it and rely on it to just outright do away with it.
Any other comments for Social Security?
No, I think you've hit everything. It's very frustrating to me that I'm going to pay into this system for however long I'm working and probably never going to get a dime back out of it. That's pretty frustrating, I'll be honest with you.
That's like paying income taxes.
That's what I was going to say, but unfortunately, there's nothing I can do about that. And so I don't think about it very often, but, I joke with you. I'm like, yep, I'm going to be paying your benefit. And
I certainly hope so.
But I mean, it is what it is. I mean, again, we have a problem with the federal government overreaching and messing with something that if they had just left alone would have been fine. But too little too late for that. So,
question number two is for you.
Okay.
And I'm going to be the client for a minute. How much money do I need to retire on?
That depends how much income you want. And what's the first answer people 99% of the time give us?
I don't know. Or else they say, much as I can get.
There we go. As much as I can get. All right. That's not an answer. I don't know. And as much as I can get not answers.
We typically start off with what they're making now. But now, okay. I make $50,000 a year. How much do I need to retire on if I want $50,000 a year? How much money do I need?
$1 million.
How does $1 million make me $50,000 a year?
The rule of thumb that we use is you can take roughly 5% a year out of a nest egg investment without touching principal. And so 5% of $1 million is $50,000.
Now, I'm going to say this on the air. I'm deeply ashamed of you. You gave the answer that a financial advisor / stockbroker would give.
What?
Is the only benefit they have at retirement the $1 million?
No, I was just getting ready to say... no, I was getting ready to follow up. You didn't let me finish. So if that's,
you drew breath.
So and that's one of the things that I harp on with people, not harp on, that I stress with people is I like to give people that number and just to say, okay, if we're relying totally on your investments, this is what you have to have. And then people will say, oh my God, I can't save that much money. And I say, I know that, but there's other things that come into play. You know, you've got Social Security. And a lot of times people don't factor in Social Security when it comes to their income. And Social Security often makes up, you know, in some cases it can make up 50 or 60% of somebody's income. But Social Security is a substantial amount of money that you need to consider when we're talking about somebody's income stream. And so just because on paper somebody needs X amount of dollars invested to produce this amount of income doesn't mean that that's the amount of that doesn't mean that they have to have that amount of money saved up in order to retire. Because there's other factors that come into play.
Part of the financial planning journey with people is...
Journey, what a great name for a company.
Wow. Is everybody's different. So Joe Blow comes in and says, I want to retire this amount of money. We have to factor in Social Security. We have to factor in, does he do anything on the side? We have to factor in, is there any inheritance coming his way? The other thing we have to factor in is... do you really need, in this case, $50,000? Or can we pay some debt off and reduce your need for income? So when people come in and say, well, how much money do I need? It's the start of a question that kind of cascades. There's a lot of information that we have to get. There is no one rule. I mean, okay, the 5% rule maybe, but...
That's just a rule of thumb. That's not a, like, we have people ask us pretty often, how much money does your average client need to retire on? And I tell people, I can't answer that because
we don't have an average client.
Yeah. I mean, we have average people, but we don't have an average client because everybody's situation is so different. I don't have a baseline to say, yeah, most people need this amount of money because everybody needs a different amount of money. And so it's hard to say what a baseline is for that.
All right, next question. When can I retire?
When my follow-up question is, when do you want to retire? That's the first question I say.
And the next thing they immediately say is tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, the first question we always have back to them is, when do you want to retire? Because if we can make when you want to retire happen, that's the thing to do. All right. So the first question is, when do you want to retire? And they say, I want to retire in 3 years. All right. And then we start looking at the assets that they have. We look at what their Social Security benefit is going to be, if that is applicable, you know, if they're past 62 at that point. And then based on our numbers, our recommendations, including Social Security, including all factors, we look at them and say, yeah, you're good to go. You're good to retire pretty much whenever you want to. Or, you know, if you want to retire in 2 years, you're good to do that. Or, no, it's going to be 3 or 4 years. So it's based on all of these questions tend to build on each other. You know, based on the information that we have gathered by this point, that's what helps us answer this question. And so a lot of times we don't give solid answers to these questions right off the bat because we have to go back and figure out the answer.
It sounds like, okay, well, let's go. All right, next question.
What were we going to say?
No, I was going to say, it sounds like all these questions are linked together and they go back to doing the job of being a financial planner, which is compiling information.
Yeah.
And there's no quick and easy answer. Should I put money in my employer's retirement plan?
Yes.
Why?
Well, okay, let me back up. All right. If the employer has a match provision, there's no reason to not, unless you can't afford to do that, there's no reason not to do that. All right. A caveat would be,
what's fish eggs got to do with it?
A caveat to that question or a sub question we get would be, should I be putting more into my 401k? All right. To which I answer maybe. And you talked about earlier paying off debt. When somebody is approaching retirement, one of the things that we really take a look at is, does it make more sense to pay off debt or does it make more sense to put more money away? And I'm not going to say every time, but I'm going to say most of the time it makes more sense to pay off debt because when it comes and I could give you this example over the air and it would take 5 minutes for me to go through all the numbers and probably wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. But when you boil it down to what the debt is actually costing you on a yearly basis, it's easier to pay that debt off than it is to save the amount of money that you would need to produce the debt payment. And so the answer is always, yeah, it's a good idea to put money into your employer retirement plan.
Elaborate on that, because I understand what you're saying, but other people may not.
Oh, about the debt thing?
Yeah, about it's easier to pay off debt than it is to save money.
All right, let's do just a real quick. All right, let's say your total debt. Let's say the only debt you have is your house, and you owe $100,000 on your house, and your house payment is $2,000 a month. Let's just say, all right. So $24,000 a year of house payment. All right, in order to make a $2,000 a month house payment, you've got to bring home $2,500 a month because of taxes. So you got to make closer to $30,000 or $35,000 just to net out that $24,000. All right. In order for an investment to produce $30,000 a year, you'd have to have a nest egg investment of $600,000. All right. That goes back to that 5% rule of thumb. So $600,000. And so the question we ask people is it easier to pay off that $100,000 of debt over the next 5 years? Or is it easier to save $600,000 over 5 years? And people are always just absolutely blown away when they see this math because they don't think about it that way. They just, it's kind of ingrained in people that, oh, I should be putting more money in retirement. But in reality, by paying off the debt, you have put more money into retirement and you've done it in a more efficient way because you can look at it one of two ways. You've just saved yourself $600,000 from having to put away, or you've given yourself a $2,500 a month raise at that point. And that's the way I like to look at it is you've got an extra $2,000 a month, really, because you're not making that debt payment anymore. But more importantly, you've just saved yourself from having to save another $600,000, which most people just can't do in that short amount of time. So that's why I say that it's always a good idea to invest in the employer plan, but it may not be a good idea to put more into it.
When should I take my Social Security?
The day you quit working. And if
so, if I quit working at 55, I take it then.
The day you quit working, you're eligible for it. If you're no longer planning on working, and you're past 62, take it. Actuarially, so, and you're the Social Security guy, so if I say anything wrong, correct me. Social Security is based on an actuarial basis. It's based on your life expectancy. So if you take it at 62, 67, 70, whenever you take it, you're going to get, if you live a normal life expectancy, you're going to get roughly the same amount of money, you know, because if you take it at 62, your benefit is less, but you take it for longer. So you get more years out of it. If you take it later, the benefit's higher, but you get it for less years. If you die, you don't get anything.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the thing to remember is that if you pass away, it's not like, oops, here's your check.
Oops, here's your death benefit. Yeah.
So we tell people that now Social Security does have a maximum. If you retire early, full retirement age for me for Social Security is 66 years and 10 months. So at 64 and 4 months, because we're 5 months, we'll try it now, I could take Social Security right now. I would get a penalty of about 10% because I'm taking it 2 years early. Now, the 10% penalty doesn't bother me because, as George mentioned, if I live a normal life expectancy, I'm going to get out all I'm supposed to. What does bother me, though, is that if you retire before full retirement age, which is my case, 66 and 10 months, then you are penalized. Your Social Security, you're limited as to how much you can make. If I took my Social Security today, then for every $2 I made in excess of $22,500 this year, they would reduce my Social Security by $1. So do the math. If I'm making, say my Social Security is $3,000 a month, and then I lose 10% of it, so it's $2,700 a month. If I make $6,000 a month, that's about $4,000 a month more than I'm allowed to make, roughly $22,000.
So your benefit's cut by $2,000.
My Social Security's cut by $2,000, and I don't get that back. They don't pay it back to me. And so I either need to not take Social Security, or I need to not work, one of the two. You'll hear people say, oh, I've been advised to wait till 70. That's ridiculous. That is nothing more than a marketing gimmick. Now, your Social Security does go up every year after 66 and 10 months, or 66. There is a higher payout at 70. But you have just forfeited 2 to 4 years of Social Security payout that you won't get back if you die. And if you wait to take your Social Security at age 70, contrary to what the salesmen have been telling you, then you've got to live to like 84 before the break even comes across. You die before 84, you lost money on the game. So don't buy into this bourgeois about not taking Social Security till 70. That is nothing but a marketing scheme. It's just to make them sound smarter, and it ain't. It's a bad idea.
Yeah, people are always amazed when, and again, they don't really think about it that way. They're this way. They think about it as, oh, if I wait till 70, I get a higher benefit. And I say, yeah, but here's the thing. If you ordinarily, you know, with just like I'm air quoting, an average Social Security, if you don't take your Social Security from 67 to 70, you're leaving anywhere from, I mean, it could be upwards of $100,000 that you didn't take.
If mine's $3,000 a month, that's $36,000 a year times 3 years, $118,000. Now, and your mother, because she's getting spousal benefit, can't start hers until I start mine. So I'm surrendering her spousal benefits as well, all for a 4% increase. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it just there's been one case that we've worked where it made sense, but that's the only time I've ever seen it.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any, because you just end up leaving so much money on the table. And again, if you die, you don't get any of it. So take it when you can get it, and take it and run with it. You know, people say, well, I don't need it. I don't care if you don't need it. Take it anyway. It's there for you. You know, great. You know, that's awesome that you don't need it, but I don't know, take it and put it in the bank or something. I don't care what you do. Just take it, because it just doesn't make sense to leave it otherwise.
They can give it to your church.
Yeah, give it to somebody. I don't care who you give it to me. I'll take it. I need it.
Here's our last question. We got about a minute and a half to go. We talk about tithing a lot on our show. And a common question we get is that people say, do you really believe in tithing, or are you just saying that?
Yes, we believe in it. Yeah, we believe in it. I mean, absolutely. When we give people a budget worksheet, it's one of the first line items on the budget worksheet is your tithe.
And they're always amazed at that.
Yeah. They're like, is that really smart financial planning? Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah, it is.
no plan in the universe should be without putting God first.
Yeah.
And tithing is putting God first. And as we've said many, many times, you can't outgive the Lord.
Yep.
His resources are somewhat larger than yours are.
His pool is just a tad deeper than mine.
And by trusting in him and tithing, you cannot outgive the Lord.
Yep.
Okay. Now, at the end of the show here, if you have some questions we haven't answered.
If you want to ask these questions to us.
Give us a call at 252-304-1019. Again, that's 252-304-1019. And we'd love to chat with you about these or anything else.
I hear the music in my ear, so I guess we better head on out of here. We appreciate you letting us ride home with you today. Hope you have a great Wednesday evening, and we look forward to visiting with you next week. This is George Pate.
And this is Tommy Pate.
Taking care of business.
The proceeding has been a paid program. The advice and opinions expressed by the Journeys Group and their guests are their own and may not reflect the opinions and advice of WTIB or Interbanks Media. All statements and opinions expressed are based upon information considered reliable, although should not be relied as such. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results. Fixed annuities are insurance products. Fixed annuities, rates, returns, and guarantees are subject to the claim paying ability to the underlying insurance company. Please see a statement of understanding and prospectus for a full detail on products discussed. Strategies mentioned may not be suitable for everyone. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation and as such is not intended to be a direct recommendation. Before acting on any information mentioned, you should seek the advice from a qualified tax or investment advisor to determine whether it is suitable for your specific situation. Investment advising services are offered through the Journeys Group, an SEC registered investment advisor.